Radio, CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
And we're back. It is Taylor Report, and it is Monday. And Phil Connor is here. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm doing well.
And will you be going, by the way, to the talk Friday night?
Of course, I was already planning, and then it's wonderful to hear Isaac because he's always right up to date on what's happening in Cuba and puts it in context, and we'll have a Cuban diplomat there. So that's Friday night, 7 p.m. at 779 Bathurst, a different book list.
Yeah. They have Isaac and I think it's Liz Hill have a great site called, it's not them alone, but manage it, CanadianNetworkOnCuba.ca. And I found it quite useful today in getting background for this interview. And people should be alarmed. I mean, when they do what they did with the Cuban ballplayers, they know that they're trying to create unease, actually, anxiety amongst people, because people say, where did that come from? Why do we need this problem now? Major League Baseball is going along quite happily, very lucky to have these great ball players. Sports fans want to see the best, and they're glad to see the best players on the field. And then, the man with the orange hair stands up and says, they can't come here anymore under these terms. And it shows he doesn't operate from a business model, or not one that can be identified. Usually, if it's serious policy, they talk it over and let it unfold over a long period of time after everybody sort of signs on. But instead, he just simply sounds off and the rules have to go out the window. I want to say something important to the Taylor Report. We spoke about this before. We've just recently had the exoneration, I think there's the term, by the Government of Canada for the great Indigenous leader, Poundmaker, who was imprisoned in 1885 for his alleged part in what is known in folklore as the Riel Rebellion. Louis Riel himself was hanged in 1885. And it tends to be the only way people understand the story is to talk about the death, tragic death, the unjust situation of the Métis and Indigenous people, focus tends to be on the personality of Louis Riel. Brian Mulroney made a big thing within the Conservative Party, made a reputation by calling on the Conservative Party to recognize Louis Riel as one of the founders of Canada because of his leadership in Manitoba. Of course, he was involved in the struggle in Saskatchewan and was in 1885 tried in Regina and executed. But this brings us to Mr. Poundmaker. He was a chief, a Cree. And I find it really wrong. I don't like the approach. There were three chiefs who were convicted of same alleged allegation is that they had participated. They were disloyal is actually the crime. They were disloyal to the Queen. Apparently she heard about this and was unhappy. So they were disloyal, and the three of them, Big Bear, One Arrow, and Poundmaker, were imprisoned. They died shortly after, all three of them, because they were not in the best of health, and the prison in which they were placed was not good. There were a number of Indigenous prisoners who were in that prison in what is now Alberta, I believe, and they had a high percentage of casualties. People just died because of the poor conditions. But something happened at that time, and I urge readers, listeners to look into this. Government tried to find differences amongst the Indigenous, amongst the Métis, anybody they could to play one against the other. And in the case of Poundmaker, we have the evidence now that we see the correspondence has been shown that the man making most of the decisions under MacDonald, he was very concerned that a leader of the Blackfeet nation, Blackfoot nation, his name was Crowfoot, was a good friend of Poundmaker. And Crowfoot was a powerful man. And he had not been involved. But he was watching closely what was going on because the people of the region were starving. That was the main reason of indigenous involvement in any resistance, was that the treaties had been neglected and not been enforced. The food, the rations were not there as they were supposed to be. And this is at a time when in what is now Canada, Canadian West, the buffalo did actually disappear in a matter of a couple of years. They disappeared. Many of the Cree went south to Montana where there were still buffalo. But those who had signed treaties, it was called Treaty 6, were supposed to receive rations for giving up everything. They were supposed to get rations and medicine. And matter of fact, Trudeau couldn't resist saying Poundmaker was one of the first advocates of Medicare, I think he said. I don't know why people drag in these. It's a totally ridiculous connection because, at any rate, that's all they had. And then they didn't get that. And people were starving, the winters are brutal. So this led to fights and the deaths of people. And in the case of the Métis, there was the rebellion. But at any rate, so Crowfoot contacted the Canadian authorities, and he said, don't cut Poundmaker's hair. He had distinguished features in one of his hair. And one of the things that they liked to do when they took indigenous people in was to cut their hair, particularly if it was a leader. So out of deference and to win favor with Crowfoot, the Canadians didn't cut his hair. But there's a photograph, and I urge anybody to go look at it, of Crowfoot sitting next to Big Bear, another leader, another chief in the region. He has his hair cut, and his people did not like that, and he, of course, did not wish to have his hair cut. It was done to him. It was a way of saying, this is what we're going to, you're now going to become what we want you to become. They cut his hair. They didn't cut the hair of Poundmaker. They wanted to see if they could create opportunities for themselves and differences. And so I'm uncomfortable with this idea, we're going to, I think the word is exonerate. Poundmaker. I don't think you have a right to exonerate him, frankly. I think that should be a negotiated deal. And I'm speaking from the side of the those Europeans who had taken the land by force. That it's a disgrace that these three chiefs are treated as though somehow they have to receive a clearance for their conduct. None of the three were guilty of the things charged against them. To the extent that they resisted, that was within their rights. And as somebody, by the way, who's hungry and lets his children go hungry and doesn't do something about it, obviously, such people hardly exist because it's expected of leaders that you do something. You don't allow a little potentate who has the authority of the Canadian government to deny your children food because he says, you're not on the list or I don't feel like giving it to you or come back in a month. No, that is not how it's done amongst humans, civilized people. So at any rate, they wanted to play one group against another. So in my view, you have to clear all three. They have to be recognized as clear. There should actually just be an amnesty for everybody involved. Because they had a right to rebel against the conditions under which they were. Whether they rebelled or not is another matter, but they had the right. And given the conditions which had been imposed on them by Ottawa on behalf of the Queen, they had a right to do what they did, whatever it was. But that takes us then to another group. There were the eight Cree who were hanged in 1885 in November. And they were hanged together to serve as an example. They were not hanged one by one. They first thought they were going to hang them two by two. Then they changed their mind and decided to hang them all at once. These were eight men, and their bodies were thrown in a mass grave, which was ignored. It actually became sort of known to the outside world when bones began to appear from the grave. Somebody said, "What is that?" And they said, "Those are the remains of some of the eight who were hanged." We promised on the Taylor Report we would commemorate them. So we're going to mention, as we should, don't ever say Poundmaker if you're not going to say Chief One Arrow, and if you're not going to say Chief Big Bear, whose hair was cut. If you're going to mention them, you have to also mention those who were involved in an incident at Frog Lake, and whites call it the Frog Lake Massacre. They never proved it was a massacre. There were some whites who died, and so therefore it's called a massacre. As you know, what was it? They said that about the famous American crazy man. What was it? The guy out in Montana. Phil can't tell me the name.
Montana.
Custer. He was massacred.
He lost a battle spectacularly because he was...
And he was defeated.
He was defeated.
He died on the battlefield.
He was unprepared.
He was not massacred.
And he was outmaneuvered and he lost.
Yeah. Now, apropos of the eight, here's what you need to know. They had a one-day trial. They did not speak English. Any of the eight, none of them spoke English. They had no representation. They did not know what was going on. And some of them, because the missionaries were allowed to talk to them, a couple of them converted and had their names changed, so they died on the gallows with somebody else's name in order to say they were Christians. But also the missionaries, and everybody understands colonialism, the missionaries were working for the Canadian government, and they told them to plead guilty, and a couple of them did. But how could they even plead guilty if they didn't understand the charges? There is a joke, I hate to tell you, it's a macabre joke. They said that Wandering Spirit, who was one of the eight, said, what did they say I did? And according to the translation, as written out by the man who remembered it, they said, you're accused of poking the queen in the rectum with a stick. Oh, really? I don't think I did that. You know, that was it. Their names are Wandering Spirit, Round the Sky, Bad Arrow, Miserable Man, Iron Body, Little Bear, Itka, also known as Crooked Leg, and Charles Ducharme, known also as Man Without Blood. And so they were hanged all together. And so I want them cleared, because here's why, Mr. Prime Minister. They didn't get a fair trial. You didn't prove they harmed anybody. You didn't show them in a court of law that they harmed anybody. They didn't have representation. They didn't understand, could not have understood the charges. So they are free, because that is not due process. Since Canadian, I heard Chrystia Freeland say, we believe in the rule of law. Okay, announced that they are cleared. Because they did not get due process. Chrystia Freeland says we have rule of law. If we have rule of law, that case has to be thrown out, and all eight of these individuals who were hanged are still innocent. And nobody ever showed they did anything. And somebody said, oh, well, we have diaries. Okay, let's go into court and see. Are you telling me that Wandering Spirit or Round the Sky or Bad Arrow, Miserable Man, if they had a proper translator, might have had an answer? You're telling me they would not have been able or perhaps could account for themselves in a way that a jury would say, let him go. That happens all the time in our courtrooms if you have due process. This was not due process. And when people say, well, that was Frog Lake and that was pretty ugly. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was ugly. It's pretty ugly to not give people food when they're hungry. That's pretty ugly. And particularly, by the way, I'll tell you something I do know. The judge said to Wandering Spirit, he thought Wandering Spirit was the leader because whites have this idea, he has the most feathers, he must be the boss. Anyhow, he said to Wandering Spirit, I don't know why you did this. He said, don't you know the white man can live without the Indian, but the Indian cannot live without the white man. So that's what he said to him. Actually, they'd all been living there quite well before the guys that the judge referred to as white men came. So it's a blot. And if anybody feels, oh, well, we shouldn't talk about Frog Lake because, you know, it was some people lost their lives. I'm sorry they lost their lives. But the men accused of it, of being involved in their deaths, didn't have a fair trial. So you don't get to go on running your mouth about a massacre. You wouldn't know. You didn't have any evidence. Nobody produced any evidence. They talk about decolonizing the mind. Get it out of your head that you know what happened. Because you're presuming things about, particularly indigenous people, you have no idea what you're talking about. The person doesn't even speak your language, and you're lecturing him, and you're talking about law and civilization. There's a nice word. Anyhow, so this is the Taylor Report, and we're for clearing the eight. And there is a marker after 100 years later. It took 100 years. There's a marker with their names on it. But I don't think that's good enough at all. That's not getting it done. If we have something much more has to be done. And I'm calling on Ottawa to do it. This is not a responsibility. If to the extent that it has to involve, it should involve, the indigenous leaders, they should write the terms. Because they're the ones who were the victims, and they're victimized by a cheating, lying treaty. So their rights now should be restored, and they should explain to us what happened, and then we should just sign the paper, and then we got something. So, anyway, that's that matter.